Our next guest covers college football for USA Today, and I'm going to guess he bounced all over the place over the last couple of weeks. Now, I didn't see him in L.A., but that doesn't mean he wasn't there. We were kind of in the radio electronics section. He may have been in with the writers in the other salon, but it's good to have Dan Wolkin with us back here in Salt Lake City on the Bill Riley Show. Were you in Hollywood the last couple of days?
No, I basically skipped all the media days this year, so I find them to be not very useful, to be honest. So I've kind of decided that I want to spend my time doing some better reporting than the forward type of reporting of those media days, and basically being a stenographer for a bunch of cliches, which is all those things are anymore.
Yeah, you get a lot of that. For me, being in the conference, it's good for a little bit of FaceTime and getting to see coaches and sit down with them, and it makes for pretty good radio content in Salt Lake City in July, where we don't have Major League Baseball and things like that. But, yeah, not a whole lot usually comes out of those things. Utah kind of was one of the bigger stories down there with their addition of transfer Darren Carrington to the program. Darren will be on the practice field this afternoon. They still have to get the Oregon transfer waiver and then get the Pac-12 to give the approval, but most people think that will happen. What do you make of Carrington's late addition to the Utah roster, Dan?
Talented player. He's obviously had a lot of issues. This was not his first problem at Oregon, and that's why he's no longer there, but he's got experience. He's played in big games. He's was part of the really some of the winning Oregon teams, and obviously things fell apart the last couple seasons, but he's had a pretty checkered career off the field, and he's got one last shot here to make good on his potential, so hopefully for him he will take it.
Yeah, and for Utah, if he keeps on the straight and narrow, he gives them really something they haven't had the last couple of years and something they need pretty badly, and that's that go-to wide receiver.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, anytime you can add an offensive weapon who's got that kind of speed and talent on the perimeter, yeah, I mean, you will roll the dice on a player like that if you have a need. And certainly, Utah, especially with a little different offensive approach this year, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in and what they look like on offense.
Dan Wolkin from USA Today with us. Any qualms, any disagreement with the preseason poll that came out for the Pac-12, USC in the South, Washington in the North, Utah 2, Stanford 2 in the South and North, respectively? Is that kind of how you see it too?
I think that's fairly consistent with what I would say. It's interesting in the South Division just because you get so many question marks. UCLA, Arizona State, Colorado, I'm not sure what to make of that division, to be honest with you. And you've got some teams that, if they play to their potential, could be pretty good. But, if the bottom falls out and there's some dysfunction, they could really be facing some serious decisions from a coaching standpoint. So, Utah's been one of the more consistent teams in that division. You know what you're going to get with them. And, they haven't really broken through to win the division yet, but they should be pretty good, I would think.
Who's your biggest question mark, North or South, in the conference that you just don't have a real good feel for right now?
Well, I think Oregon has the potential to do a pretty quick little bounce back here. I mean, I don't want to predict them getting back to the kind of dominance that they had under Chip Kelly and early on with those Mariota-led teams. But I think that the talent is in place, that they should be better, far better than what they've been the last 2 years. New coaching staff in there, new approach. I'm curious to see how quickly they can put up some W's, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens sooner than some people think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've never really been around Willie Taggart before yesterday, and I'm just curious to see how he integrates his new system with a completely new coaching staff up there, but there's still talent in that program for sure. Have you ever been around Willie much at South Florida or at Western Kentucky?
Yeah, sure. I mean, a few years back at South Florida, I was down there on signing day and did a kind of behind-the-scenes on signing day story with their coaching staff. And it's interesting. I'm not sure he's the most charismatic guy in the world, when you talk to him one-on-one, but you definitely feel like he's genuine. And, I think that, you know, he sort of put his own spin on the Harbaugh system, the Harbaugh program. But as a head coach, it's interesting because, you know, he was really going in the wrong direction at South Florida, and then, you know, they got a quarterback in there who really turned everything around in Quinn Flowers, who should be one of the better players, more productive players in the country this year, who's still there at South Florida. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, in Oregon, they've recruited pretty well. They're up to a nice start. Can he get a quarterback that does some similar things? You know, if he does, then I think they'll be pretty happy with that hire.
Hey, Dan, do you foresee a day? We had this conversation with a few of the coaches. David Shaw was pretty vocal about it. Kyle Whittingham has been, too. Do you foresee a day when the Power Five schools are unified, the number of conference games they play?
No. I mean, maybe, but I don't know what would be the catalyst for that other than maybe television. But, you know, the SEC's got a lot of control over their television package and their business partners with ESPN. I mean, I think ESPN would be thrilled if the SEC went to 9 conference games, but they don't seem to really want to do that. So I don't know. I mean, I think the ACC will follow the lead of the SEC for the most part. But, you know, I know people like to talk about all that. What difference does it make?
Well, it makes a difference.
I don't really see what the difference is.
Well, it makes a difference, say, if you're in the Pac-12 or the Big 12 and you're playing 9 straight conference games where the SEC throws in a 1AA school in November.
That's a red herring. I mean, the truth of the matter is when you talk about the playoff, and this is really what it's all about, what everyone's worried about is the playoff. The cream rises to the top. And if you're playing 9 conference games or 8 conference games, at the end of the day, if you have a good enough team to get through to the top 4, then your team will get there. You know, you're sitting there and telling me that you know, that some of these SEC teams, yes, they will play a 1AA team, but they also, a lot of them have, you know, non-conference annual rivalries. Florida's got Florida State. You know, Clemson's got South Carolina. Alabama plays a huge non-conference game to open the season every year. You know, I just don't buy this argument that the Pac-12 playing 9 conference games makes it so much so hard that they're disadvantaged for the playoff. I mean, we saw it last year with Washington. Washington was good enough to get in because they took care of business and because they were one of the 4 best teams. And I think it's a cop-out. It's an excuse. The Pac-12 has parity. They've got a lot of decent teams. But what it's all about is that one outstanding team. You cannot fake your way in. You've got to win the game.
Well, I think the advantage comes, though, when you play a lesser opponent in November in a week where you don't have to play your starters for 60 minutes. To me, down the stretch, having a lesser opponent is an advantage where other schools aren't having that same advantage.
Yeah, but there's some bad teams in the Pac-12. I mean, Oregon State, what's the difference? Do you play Oregon State or whoever? I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, I know people get caught up on this. The Pac-12 problems are self-inflicted. They're crappy television network. You know, they're stupid. Let's go to Australia and play football. Give me a break. Conferences are run very well. This is about the coaches and the players. You've got a good enough team to get through a 9-game schedule. You're going to make it with plenty of room to spare. This is not about schedule inequality. That's a loser's lament, and I'm tired of hearing about it.
Dan and I will talk about this when we have a little bit more time. I wanted to get a couple of thoughts from you, big picture here. Is there a team outside the kind of the Big 4 that most people are talking about, the Alabama, the Clemson, the Florida State? Is there a team that's not in that top 4 or 5 in most people's preseason poll that you think could have a breakout year and maybe jump into the playoff picture?
You know, I don't really see, you know, a newcomer or anything like that. I mean, I think that by and large the same group of teams that we were talking about last year probably going to be the same ones we're talking about this year. I do think people are underselling Washington. they're getting absolutely no publicity this offseason. That's probably the way they want it. But I think they're really good. And I think that, you look at Chris Peterson, they were able to sustain year after year of consistency. And once they get kids in their program and develop them, they're really good. And I think Browning coming back off the injury, you know, if he's healed up and if he's 100%, he'll play better. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Washington is back in the playoffs this year.
Heisman Trophy-wise, Sam Darnold, who I talked to yesterday, seems to be at the top of everybody's list. Lamar Jackson's coming back, and it doesn't seem like anybody's talking about Lamar Jackson.
Look, there's a good reason for that. I mean, one, he shouldn't have won it last year. I don't vote in the thing. I don't ever vote for anything. It's just personal policy. I don't like to participate in those sort of awards. But, I mean, I think anyone who watched the season last year and watched it closely could have seen that Deshaun Watson should have won the Heisman Trophy. Deshaun Watson was the best player in the country. And, look, Lamar did some really good things early in the year. I think what happened is that his offensive line got exposed. People started blitzing, which they were afraid to do early in the season because I think defensive coordinators were just afraid that he was going to scramble and take off and run and you know, basically get past the pressure. And I think what you found out once they played Houston was that their offensive line just wasn't good. And Lamar, as talented as he is not the quickest thinker. And they were able to get to him. And their offensive line is going to have to be a lot better, or else, you know, the same game plan people use late in the season is going to really cause Louisville problems again. I don't see him putting a second season like that together, but if he does, all the credit to him.
Last thing for you, Dan. Biggest named head coach on the biggest hot seat to begin the season. And it's not Hugh Freeze because he's now gone. So after Hugh Freeze, who's the biggest name on a hot seat to begin the year?
Brian Kelly, I think. I mean, I think fairly obvious. Notre Dame, it's put up or shut up time. And, you know, he's been good there, but last season was a debacle. And I don't think the administration there wants to make a coaching change, but if it goes the wrong way again, the heat is just going to be too great from that fan base. And they need some wins.
Did you watch any of Last Chance U?
I haven't seen it yet. I've heard it's really good. Haven't got a chance.
Okay. Did you see last season?
I've never
okay.
Watched.
Okay. Then that question we'll save for another day. Hey, thanks for jumping on. College football just around the corner. Good talking with you, Dan.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there you go. Dan Wolkin with us.